Man,
loser.
You are one pathetic loser.
You win some, you lose some.
Here's Taylor. Next throw. Taylor. Oh, yeah. Touchdown. And some sweet moves by JT. 29 yards.
Oh, my goodness.
They hand it to Taylor. Jonathan Taylor. One of the first to get there, along with DeMarcus Walker. First down and 10. Play action. Williams was looking deep. Lost the football. Knocked away by Latu. And there's a fight for it. The Colts have it. But on the shotgun. To Taylor. Up the middle. Taylor. Got there. Touchdown. Second touchdown.
And the highlights courtesy of CBS Sports. Hampton will be here with you, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears going to Indianapolis and find a way to lose a game, 21-16. Lots of fancy stats for Caleb Williams, but not a lot of fancy stats as far as the Bears running attack is concerned. And this is three straight games that they have not been able to get anything going offensively as far as the run goes.
You know, Andy, and what is really the heartbreak of it is, you know, and OB, you talk about stats, and there's a bunch of, you know, almost gaudy stats that we could look at. Like, we had 26 first downs in this game, and we lose. We had 10 minutes more of time of possession in this game, and we lose. We were 9 of 21 on third down. That's pretty good. We lose. We were 4 of 5 on fourth down conversions, which is great. We lose. A quarterback threw for 330-plus yards. We had half the penalties of the opponent. And we lose! Does that mean we're losers? Or does that mean we got a bunch of idiots trying to run a football team? Guys, look. First, the production of the offense, it would, forget all these stats. The offense was horrid, and it had no consistency, and the production was all kind of like flash and bang. It wasn't what you have to have to control the clock and dominate an opponent. And the second thing, we had so many, 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 many pathetic calls. And I got to tell you, the first thing that jumps out at me is – late in the game, we had to call a timeout because we are too stupid to be prepared to go for two, to make it a 14-11 game and let us have a chance to get a field goal to tie it in the later stages of the fourth quarter. But everybody is too busy celebrating who threw the first touchdown pass. And yet we had to call a timeout and they go, oh, I guess we need to go for two. I got to tell you, folks, this, as a high school team, wouldn't be acceptable, let alone a Chicago Bear football team.
Well, looking at offensively, Danny, we had a total in our listeners of 84 plays to the Colts, 54. 84
and we lose.
Plays. And we lose. That's exactly correct. Net yards rushing, we had 63. Total rushing plays, we had 28. We averaged 2.3 yards per try. Folks, I don't think this is a mystery. At least, I'm going to tell you, to me, it's not a mystery. Like, where's the fault? Why are we one victory and two losses? And we should actually, if the truth be, we should be 0-3. We've had three offensive touchdowns in three NFL games. Three offensive touchdowns, and we ran 84 offensive plays today, and we lost the football game to an 0-2 team. Zero wins, two losses. We go in, and we go down in flames again. So, where do we go? What went wrong? It's not a mystery to me, nor is it a mystery to Mr. Hampton or Andy. Folks, this coaching staff has no idea how to win a football game. They have no idea how to put an offensive game plan together to attack an 0-2 team. Their quarterback, he's probably one of the worst quarterbacks I've seen since I couldn't tell you when. And that kid beat us. He beat us. So where's this all coming to after three games? I'm telling you, I said it before, and I'll say it again. Right on Eberflus's forehead. Right on his forehead. Shane Waldron, our offensive coordinator, I have no idea what you guys are thinking about or what you're doing. Obviously, it's not winning football, and it's not happening. My God, the stats, the amount, 84 plays to 54 plays for the Colts. And we go in there and lose to an 0-2 team.
You know, the thing that that still makes me scratch my head, and we were talking about this as we were watching the game, it seems to me that Shane Waldron is using these players in incorrect manners. I mean, I don't think it takes a genius to figure out that DeAndre Swift is better when he goes outside, tries the ends, and Roshon Johnson is a bigger back, and Khalil Herbert, a bigger back, that attacked the middle. But what
that should have been worked out.
I understand.
In the offseason. That should have been worked out during the exhibition season.
It's like they don't know their own players.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Guys, DeAndre Swift, once again, had 13 attempts. He rushed for 20 yards. This is after a week ago where he averaged 0.8 yards an attempt. What does it take? Who do you have to talk to make them understand
Eberflus?
It's not working. Now, OB, let me finish.
And Shane Waldron. Go no further.
Because this offense is so dysfunctional, unorganized, and without any semblance of consistency, the offensive line's weaknesses and frailties has been magnified. There was one play where every one of the offensive linemen were being thrown back in the lap of Caleb Williams. I mean, that was early in the game before they were all wore out and tired because they're not in shape. But all that being said, it compounds the problem with this young quarterback and how erratic he has been in 3 weeks. Now, a bad half or a bad quarter is one thing, but three bad games, and you could say, oh, well, he threw two touchdowns. Well, he threw two interceptions, and go back and look at the tape. There was overthrow by overthrow by overthrow. Bad decision. Lost the ball, got strip sacked, and turned it over. All of these different situations have compounded into a situation where our quarterback not only has zero confidence right now, but his head is spinning. And that is exactly the opposite of what you would hope would be the type of coaching manifestation you would have on the first overall pick, draft pick that a lot of people, you know, say was the most promising talent that we've seen since Andrew Luck as a first overall pick. And what do we have to show for it? What do we have? 33 possessions and three touchdowns. And there's all kinds of different things. The early field goal that we missed.
That's three touchdowns in three games.
The early field goal. And then having to call the timeout to try to go for two when they were so disorganized. You know it, I know it, and I told everybody in the room, there's not a chance in hell they will convert this. Because they weren't even prepared for that situation. So all of this, as you said, it's got to land on somebody's forehead, and you said his name, OB. I mean, this is bad football, folks. We're watching bad football. And let me just tell you this. There were eight 0-2 teams in the NFL today. going into today, eight of them. Five of them won. There's two of them that'll play tomorrow night. And the last one is the Rams, who we play next week. Matt Stafford looks like Johnny Unitas out there with a bunch of nobodies, and he's tied the 49ers, and they're going to go into overtime. And then now, you know, and you always think, okay, what I saw today, you project, okay, this is what we will answer with. What do you got, Andy?
Yeah, I don't have much.
What do you got? That Ram defense has been getting after Brock Purdy and the rest of that. I mean, they're supposed to have, you know, a good offensive line, and they got Ayuk and some other good players. And guess what? Since the second quarter, they've been shut out. Folks, we are in trouble. I'm telling you, this isn't sending SOS. This is start sending flares.
Yeah, the Rams actually are in field goal position with 3 seconds to go. It looks like they're going to line up for about a 37-yard field goal to win this game. They're going to try, at least they're going to attempt it, tied 24-24 very late in the fourth quarter at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles.
Well, going back to this game, okay, just going back to this, Danny, we had basically a total of 395 total yards, and we had 84 offensive plays. They had a total of 306. They had 54 offensive plays. We had 30 more offensive plays. And we lost the football game. We lost. Could it possibly be that Shane Waldron is not putting our offense in a position to score points? Could that be a problem, Dan? And Eberflus, he's the head of it. Now we got to play. Here we are, 2-3. Two losses with one win after three games. We got the Rams coming in Sunday, and I'm going to tell you what, folks. I'm so disgusted with this coaching staff. The coaching staff, number one, number two, our offensive line. My God, and like this problem just happened. These five guys just all of a sudden couldn't play football. Folks, it started years ago. For some reason, we can't seem to get five guys to keep our quarterback upright and move the ball down the field and score points and win games. And where does it fall? Right on our offensive line. Right on them. And then whose fault is after that? It's our coaches. I'm telling you, this coaching staff is, we've had some bad ones here, and I'm going to tell you what, they're right with the real bad ones. This coaching staff is horrible.
All right, we've got a couple hours to spend with you. We'll be here until 8:30 tonight talking about this Bears loss, 21-16 to the Indianapolis Colts. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Time now for the news.
Low snap, Williams fields it to the end zone.
Courtesy of CBS Sports. First connection between Williams and Adunze right there. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears fall 21-16 in the game in Indianapolis today. And I don't really even know what to say about how that offense, every time they took the field, we're all looking at each other like, okay, what are they going to screw up next? I mean, what are they going to do to kind of shoot themselves in the foot? And they did a lot.
Well, it was a total team effort. You know, our kicker, he misses a field goal early on in the game. I think it was first drive.
Mm-hmm.
And little things kind of morph and fester into more bad news. You know, this is our first half possessions. We go 11 plays and miss a field goal. Then we get the ball back. We go four and we punt. Five and we punt. Four. Oh, then we throw an interception. And then we go 16-play drive where we can't punch it in. We turn it over on downs, which is a huge, huge point in the game. And then at the end of the half, we throw a Hail Mary, except one thing. What is it, 1 yard short?
1 yard short.
1 yard short. So see how one little thing festers, and then the next thing you know, you can't even get out of your own way.
Listen, we had today, we had a total net yards, a total of 395. Now that should have brought you a win. And passes, we had 52 attempts, folks. 33 completions. That should be a win. And how did we lose this game? Tell you how we lost it. We lost it because of this coach we got, Eberflus, and his 25 assistants. That's how we lost this game today. We went in to play a miserable team that doesn't have a quality quarterback, and we went in to an 0-2 team, and we get our backside handed to us.
Let's get to our game-changing moment, sponsored, that is, by the Mueller Auto Group. The Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville will go back to that fourth and goal situation where the Bears were capping a 17-play drive, trying to get the ball in to tie the game at 7. And Shane Waldron, for some reason, decides to call an option play, and they lost 12 yards.
An option play, which, what do you think they practice at? Like once a month, maybe? Maybe? And the most important down in the football game, we run a play that we were completely ill-prepared to block because the Braxton Jones and Jenkins whiffed on their defensive linemen, and the next thing I know, it was a gang fight out there at the running back. And by the way, you know, DeAndre Swift, he has a certain, you know, set of talents. Running him inside the tackles, 11 out of 14 carries, is insanity. Why do you know, he was in Detroit. Why, if he's so great, why isn't he still there? Because they realized he can't do a lot of different things. He can do some, but not a lot. And yet, here we are, acting the fool, putting the wrong personnel in, play after play after play.
Calling the wrong offensive play, too. What do you think about that,
Well,
Danny?
That's it. All right, let's get to the calls. We don't want to.
Well, let me just say this right now. Why, when we were down there, why didn't we, instead of calling that play, we've got up more. We've got a doozy. Cole Kmet was red hot. Why didn't we go into the end zone? Why didn't we go into the end zone and try to score a touchdown instead of calling a play like that? Try to win the game, Danny.
What do you think they didn't call it? They don't have confidence in what they have organized and played.
They don't have confidence in Caleb Williams. That they took him number one. Our receivers are as good as you're going to get. And we're down in the red zone, and we're fighting for our lives. My God, try to score a touchdown. We've got quality people there.
And we should have mentioned taking the North is going to be a chore at this point.
Taking the North is almost an impossible task the way I see it right now.
Vikings at 3-0, Packers at 2-1.
Yep.
And the Lions, too.
Take the North like they take the field.
Exactly right. 312-981-7200. Let's lead things off in Wheaton with Patrick. Patrick, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, after watching the game, at what point are our Bears fans going to say, you know what, coaching staff can't coach these quarterbacks? Trubisky couldn't get it done. Fields couldn't get it done. Caleb Williams can't get it done. We can't just blame them. They are being let out to the field. They are being let out to slaughter. Beyond that, Caleb Williams has been sacked 13 times in 3 games. He looks like the second coming of David Carr from the former Houston Texans. And on top of lastly, you had, sadly, I don't want to bring up Mark Trestman, right? But he was the number 2 offense in the entire NFL, and he's starting to look like Jesus took the field as a coach. These guys cannot put up points. They can't do anything. They can't stop anybody, and it's an embarrassment that the city of Chicago has to have coaching staff like this week in and week out.
I agree with you. Totally agree with you. This coaching staff, their approach during the offseason was null and void. It was so far off the charts, it was insane. They did nothing. And when I mean nothing, they did nothing. All the way through the offseason, all the different camps and the training camp and then the exhibition season. And you think when you come to the first league game, you're going to flip the switch and everybody's going to be the greatest player at their position. It doesn't work that way. You got to play these people. You got to get them ready. And what the hell you've seen the first three games? We're not ready. Why? Because this coaching staff didn't get them ready. Didn't get them acclimated to play a regular season game. There's only 17 of them. It falls right on Eberflus's head.
I'm worried about what comes next. If you go back to basics this week, what happens next week? There's not much more to go back to. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Broadview and say hi to Mark. Mark, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'll make it quick. I got a problem. They didn't use Herbert, and that would have helped the quarterback, Williams. And Williams looks like that first series, he looks like they're not in sync. They don't even know what the heck they're doing. They were all looking back at him, and then they were all jumping around on the line. I mean, when are they going? How many games are we going to lose before they sit this guy and put Bajan in there? Bajan knows the system. Bajan has rhythm with the receivers. Thank you,
Mark. What? Where was Khalil Herbert today? Where was he? He's the best running back we have, running inside, off tackle or in-wise. And he's the best pass catcher, a running back. He's the best pass catcher that we have. Why, where were the wheel routes? Why didn't we use our offensive backs in a passing game? My God, it was one mistake, one failure after another for four quarters, and that's exactly what you saw today. Failure. How the hell can you have 84 plays and you lose a football game?
Johnson was targeted five times, came up with four catches. DeAndre Swift, targeted four, came up with two. Where was Khalil Herbert? Where was he? Something's going on, folks. It's almost like some kind of a little back, you know, a schoolyard pecking order or something, and maybe somebody is, you know, lost favor with the coaches or whatever. Why has Khalil Herbert been a no-show?
He's the best back that we have, Dan.
That's the reason we let Montgomery go. The reason we let David Montgomery walk to Detroit is because we had Khalil Herbert. And now we don't even use him? Rashawn Johnson's a decent back. He's a straight-ahead guy. But he's not Khalil Herbert. But yet, right there, that's nine targets on, you know, far less capable players. Why are you wasting all these plays and not utilizing getting the ball to your playmakers?
Because they're stupid coaching staff. That's why.
Bingo.
I told you before. Coaches, oh yeah, head coach, this coach, offensive coordinator. There are some really good ones, and there are some stupid ones. Guess what we got?
Okay, it's week three, and we're already getting calls for Tyson Bajan. Look, and I wrote this down. Hey, is it time to say, we're not worried about Caleb Williams. We're worried about the people coaching Caleb Williams. And I know nobody wants to hear it, but Justin Fields is 3-0 in Pittsburgh. And nobody saw that coming. But guess what? Maybe, just maybe, Arthur Smith knows a little bit more about coaching quarterbacks than anybody we've ever had here.
All right, I'll take a timeout and come back with more of your phone calls. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
This was criminal what went on today. We should have won this game walking away, Andy.
And I'm telling you, that defense of ours that where everybody's talking, oh, so great. I saw a bunch of guys loafing and throwing shoulders and taking the easy way out. I didn't like one bit of what I saw.
All right, back in just a moment here, 312-981-7200.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
Hot route, hot route.
Who brought it today? Looking at which Bear played tough, played hard.
Got to have it if you're Chicago. Williams. So Cole Kmet's big day continues, and the Bears are not going to go quietly.
That is Who Brought It Today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. Cole Kmet is our candidate. 10 catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown today for Cole Kmet. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, that should be every week with Cole Kmet. Listen, folks, kind of like, just looking at this game real quickly here. We had almost 400 yards of total offense. We had 84 offensive plays. To to their 54. We had 30 more offensive plays than they did. And here's the big thing. We had the ball 10 more minutes than our opponents. So you take almost 400 yards of total offense, 84 to 54, 30 more plays, and we had basically 10 more minutes. 10 more minutes we had the ball than our opponents. And here's the other thing. We had, what was it? They had 9 penalties for almost 80 yards. And we lost the football game.
We had half the penalties.
Yes. 10 more minutes. My God, what else do you need? So where did it go wrong? How could we possibly lose this game? Coaching. Coaching and coaching.
21-16 was the final. We've got a full set of phone lines here, and we'll go to Ron in Michigan. You're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead, Ron.
You know, I said Justin Fields, I hope he gets out of the Bears organization before he gets hurt and gets on a good team. And finally, he's on a good team with a good line, offensive line. If the Bears had spent the money on this new quarterback who's too short and can't run, and if they would have built an offensive line to protect Justin Fields and a defensive line, we would have been in the championship running. But I don't know if it's the owners of the Bears. They keep picking. They don't build a line. They don't want to have a winning team. They're making $1 billion a year. They don't care. They're still going to make money. Thank God Justin Fields got out of it before he got hurt. I just hope this quarterback gets out of the Bears organization before he gets hurt. Plain and simple, the Bears stink because they won't build a line, offense and defense. They don't have a line. You know, and I go back to the 62 championship at Wrigley Field as far as Bears fans, okay? You got to have lines.
Thanks, Ron.
Yeah, thank Caleb's you. Not going anywhere. But I know why you have that sentiment. Yeah, it's spooky.
All right, let's continue on. Let's go out to Crown Point, Indiana, and say hi to Bill. Bill, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. All right, 2-1 offensive plays we make, and somehow we lose. You have to invent ways to do that, number one. Number two, celebrating the first touchdown Caleb throws. They're actually celebrating. It could actually happen with that offensive line. And three, is it time for a Bill Belichick, or is he too expensive for the Bears? Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Bill.
He would be a very interesting name. And, you know, he was in Cleveland and things didn't work out and he got run out and things happened in New England. But guess what? So did a guy named Tom Brady. And so where does one begin and one end? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. When Tom left, it took 2 years and they seen enough. So he is an interesting name, but we're not anywhere close to that now.
All right, let's sneak one more in here before our top of the hour break. Let's go out to Mount Prospect and say hi to Ron. Ron, we got about a minute. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys? Hey, the run game seemed like it started out a little better with Rickon in there, but not many yards. Swift has a speed, but there's no blocking for him. I don't know what to do about that. And Caleb seems like he's sitting in the pocket too much. I don't know what they can do for that. I know the coaching is terrible. The owners are terrible. 13 sacks.
Yeah,
whatever.
You know, here's the deal. Let's look at Carolina real quick. The Carolina Panthers went in and beat the Raiders today. Who are the Raiders? Well, they went into Baltimore last week and dissembled the Baltimore Ravens, who a lot of people think may be the best team in football. All that being said, Bryce Young, oh, he's terrible. He's got bad coaching. The whole team's terrible. Well, guess what? They put Andy Dalton in. Today, they wore the Raiders out. I'm just saying, somehow, some way, we've got to find the secret potion, whether it's a different offensive coordinator, a completely different game plan, and a complete change of philosophy about what we're trying to do as an offense, because right now, we can't get out of our own way.
Well, Danny, let me tell you something. You're talking about almost 400 yards of offense, and we had 84, folks, 84 offensive plays, 30 more than our opponents. And like, was the game like a nail biter or what for most of it? No, it wasn't. Because we didn't take advantage of when the positive situations were there. We never took advantage of it.
312-981-7200. Again, we're with you till 8:30 tonight, so we got a bunch of time for your calls. 312-981-7200.
I think watching film, going through practices and things like that, I've told Rome that I'm going to give him the ball some more. The routes he run, the trust and belief that I have in him, you know, that's why I threw that ball to him. That ended up being a pick, which, you know, I told him I'll come back to him, and things like that.
Caleb Williams right there. Happen will be right here, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Time now for our epic performance of the game. It's sponsored by Epical, revolutionizing beverage hydration with a pick twist and rapid hydration. Roman Dunze is going to get our award today. We just hear about him with Caleb Williams trying to get the ball to him, and he did so. Six catches for 112 yards and the touchdown.
There's some good things. And, folks, you know, we're going to get right back to the calls. But, you know, when you strip it away, it's almost like an NBA game in the sense that our numbers were superior in almost every statistical category.
Unreal.
But guess what? They scored two touchdowns in the second half and put us away. We don't score a point in the first half. We're down inside the one-yard line, and we can't score. Somehow, some way, we've got to find a way to score points. All that yardage, yeah, it don't mean nothing. It's about points.
Yeah, 1 yard short on two different occasions late in that first half. 312-981-7200. That's our telephone number. Let's go to the city of Chicago. It's out of Daniel. Daniel, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Hey, Happen OB. Good to talk to you guys again. So here's my problem, guys. I know everyone wants to, you know, call out Matt Eberflus and the offensive coordinator, but this really starts in Ryan Poles and his management team and his scouting staff and their inability to have rebuilt this offensive mind. At the end of the 2023 season, they had a whole bunch of money going to free agency. They could have, you know, drafted someone or gone to free agency and gotten a better player than Nate Davis, who, let's face it, has been a disappointment. The only reason that we didn't jump on Nate Davis last year because Justin Fields was so bad, but he was horrible last year. Now we're coming to this year, the draft. You had an opportunity to draft Joe Alt. I understand why you wanted Odunze, because you haven't had a receiver you drafted of that talent in a long time. But Braxton Jones is horrible. And Joe Alt, to me, looks like a guy he's going to be there for about, you know, 7 to 10 years. That would have given you at least a left tackle, you know, something to start with. You don't draft a center. How is it that you don't have a center, you know, on your team? You mean to tell me with all the top 20 programs and college football, you can't find a center? I'm not talking about finding a guard and making him a center. I'm talking about drafting a center. Successful teams draft and develop their own offensive line. So I just want to know what you guys think about that.
Daniel, you're spot on. Everything you said is what I believe. Everything you said, I agree with.
You know, and again, there has to be a certain maturation about your offensive line. Okay, let's talk about Braxton Jones. He has got to get stronger, and yet he refuses, in essence, to do what has to be done. I mean, he gets bull rushed back to the quarterback's lap every single play, and everybody's going to do it until you stop it. And he can't do it because he hasn't gained enough strength. Tevin Jenkins, he was supposed to be a guy, what was he, a second-round pick.
He's a turnstile.
Yeah, yeah, he's regressed. Coleman Shelton was, you know, going to be in the running to be the starting center with Ryan Bates. Ryan Bates gets hurt. He misses all of camp. He's on IR. Coleman Shelton, by default, is the center, and he's not getting it done. At least he's getting the ball back to the quarterback on his snaps. The right guard has been just a complete catastrophe. Ugh. You know, at some point, Nate Davis, there has to be a come-to-Jesus moment with him and his performance. It has been just awful. And last year's first-round pick, when the Poles tried
to... He's gone backwards, Dan.
Yeah, he's laid on his blocks. He gets, you know, his head down, his shoulders slouch. They just run right around the edge of him, and... It's just bad. And you know what? At some point, you got to say, whatever you're doing as far as preparing this offensive line, you got to do something else. Because 3 weeks in a row, it has been abysmal.
Just for the record, Joe Alt was drafted fifth, so the Bears wouldn't have had an opportunity to get him. I understand what Daniel saying, but just want to make sure that the folks know that he went fifth.
Well, he was gone by the time you got it. You know, what time you draft him instead of the quarterback? Yeah. You know, everybody knows you trade your quarterback, you got to draft him.
That brings us to how well do the Bears protect the pocket? It's sponsored by the Protect and Grow Retirement Plan by TJ Stearns. Always protecting your pocket. Call them at 800-640-2256. I think you can kind of understand from what we're talking about that the pocket was not protected very well. Four sacks allowed that induced one fumble, a bunch of penalties still on this line with holding and also false starts and the blocks. I mean, there was one guy being dragged, but you could see the tire track, the little tire marks come from up from the field turf because a guy was being dragged.
It was, again, folks, today is one thing. We got another game next week, and it's the Rams. And I watched their defensive line take over the game in the second half today against the 49ers. And I mean, they got after the 49ers. They will be licking their chops come Sunday.
All right, if you're on hold, please stay there. We'll get right to you. 312-981-7200.
Chevy Dealers, Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game.
Branson goes in motion. Richardson moving left, throwing it. What a terrible mistake by Richardson, and Tremaine Edmonds has the INT.
That is Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, and it's not Edmonds. It is the man who tipped that ball, Jack Sanborn, and it's sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, the beer vendor could have caught that. I mean, Jack was in there just sparingly, mainly down around the goal line. But he made two or three really big plays.
Yeah, whenever you need a big play, he seems to always be around the ball.
He does. I mean, you know, that he's a football player.
I love that. It's good because he's playing football. 312-981-7200. Let's go back out to the phones. Let's go to Sycamore and say hi to Kerry. Kerry, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Hey, so clearly I want to beat a dead horse, but clearly it's coaching. I mean, last week the guy was happy with throwing challenge flags all over the place. Today he couldn't figure out, you know, when to go for one or two, and clearly it's coaching. But for you guys, Hamp and OB, you were coached by, you know, two of the, well, the best ever, Alice and Ditka. Did you guys ever, behind closed doors, ever go in and say, this is nuts, and challenge the coaching?
Okay. Well, I never had to, in the sense that Buddy Ryan was really like our coach, and Buddy was so smart. He was always thinking ahead about situational, you know, things that would occur and that we needed to be prepared for. And we'd talk about it and we would work on it and we'd talk about it on Saturday night before the game. But back to Eberflus and kind of allowing that little bit of mayhem after Caleb threw his first touchdown pass and everybody celebrating and the hijinks with the ball and we need to go for it. They should have talked about that before the drive even started. If we score here, we're going to go for two. Be prepared. And yet we had to call a timeout. That would have come in handy later in the game, would it not? I mean, all these different things we were unprepared for because of a lack of coaching prowess.
Did you notice, too, because there was one coach that seemed like behind Matt Eberflus that was pointing with one finger, and then Matt got upset and showed the two fingers, and that's why he had to call a timeout. There was dysfunction even there.
Well, see, and again, the touchdown has been scored, and that is the first time, in my mind, you could tell they were unprepared. They hadn't even thought that far ahead, that the score was what it was, 14, and at 9, you go for 2 to make it 11 and then make it a field goal game and not a touchdown game. And for them not to have even thought that far ahead, guys, I got to tell you, my eyes are wide open thinking, what in the hell are you doing? That's your job.
Danny, all that should have been worked out during the off. If I said it once, I'll say it 100 times, and I'll continue to say it. This coaching staff, I'm going to tell you, these guys are unbelievable. This everything that you just said, you guys, Andy, what you said, everything should have been worked out.
Yeah.
That should have been worked out. You had four games prior to the season opener. You had the entire offseason to figure this stuff out, to get your 53 players ready to start with the first game. And as you saw, remember the first game this year? You remember last year? We were not ready. I can't put that on the players. I can't put it on a quarterback or who was ever calling the singles on defense. It's right on the coaches. And I've said it 100 times, and I'll say it 100 more times until there's a philosophy change with this coaching staff. To me, it looks like they have no idea what the hell they're doing. That's what it looks like to me. The 26 coaches are lost in space. Why do I say that? Look at this game. Look at this game that we just played last week. All three games. You got to be kidding me.
Guys, nobody in their right mind would think that to have your rookie quarterback with an awful offensive line have to attempt 52 passes in a game against an 0-2 team that is abysmal. Their quarterback was awful. He had a 42 rating or something.
It
was 38. It was 30. And yet, we have to throw the ball. We got to, chuck it, half 100 times just to try to get back in the game. It's crazy.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up to you in the pregame show, and I forgot. But I wanted to mention something that happened during the week as well. Because Matt Eberflus was asked, if the offense is being maligned like it is, is he going to pay more attention to the offense during the week? Is he going to have more input into it? And he said that he was just up there meeting with them and blah, 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 blah. And then somebody asked him, are you having to pass off any of your responsibilities as the quote-unquote defensive coordinator? I mean, he's got Eric Washington right there that seems pretty competent. But he said, no, I can do both. And that thing, that kind of worries me a little bit.
Okay, and it should worry you because he was unprepared for that situation where we should have went for two. It should have been talked about before we took possession of the ball on the field because of score and the time in the game.
The 26 coaches, Dan, should have figured this out a long ago, what to do in these different situations. Don't you have coaches' meetings and go through the different areas, the different quarters, the different situations, and what will we do in this situation, what we do in that situation? That's planning. That's coaching. Obviously, these guys don't know what the hell they're doing. Why do I say that? Look at this game today. Look at the first two games we played. You think this is a competent coaching staff?
Not only were we not prepared, we had to call a timeout to be able to run out there and attempt the 2-point.
That's a joke.
Oh, the whole thing is crazy.
Right,
crazy.
Let's have some folks jump on the line here, and we'll go out to Fox Lake and say hi to John. John, you're up with Happen to Be. Go ahead, bud.
Hi, guys. If I'm George McCaskey, Monday morning, tomorrow, I'd be calling in Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles into my office because of just the things that you guys just mentioned. It's one thing to have coaching smarts, and it's another thing to understand the situation and have situational, awareness. And this coaching staff lacks both. And we have players. We have talent.
I agree with you. You know what? Doesn't it look like they're lost, our coaching staff?
Let me give you an example. Okay, at the end of the third quarter, when we had the ball, I felt like we should have went into a 2-minute offense and just maybe ran a no huddle and just blow the ball right down the field and throw the Colts off. But
smart.
You see all this disarray, plays not ready, players telling other players where to go. That should never happen on game day. That's got to get sorted out. Players got to know plays. They got to know where they're going to stand, how they're going to hook, where they're going to go. The offense had no rhythm, had no running momentum, no rhythm. It's like the OC doesn't know his talent. He doesn't know what guys can run, what guys can pass. You got the quarterback overshooting guys. It was like mistiming. You've got timeouts burned. You got the talent. But what's scary for me is I don't know if you could teach
football smartness in a coaching staff that doesn't have it. And George, I know he sees it. He should be talking to both those guys on Monday morning, Kevin and Ryan, and saying, if this goes on at the end of the year, this staff is gone.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, guys.
Some good points.
Good call, John.
But see, that separation of talent should happen at high school level, then college level, and then in the NFL. And you shouldn't even progress this far if you don't possess that skill. And yet, almost week after week, we're looking at each other like, what the heck's going on?
21-16, the final, as the Bears lose today. We'll get we have enough time to get this one in here? Okay, we'll take one more call here real quick before we get to a break and say hi to Steve and Huntley. Steve, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Steve?
Anyhow, this all seems like a repeat of last year, not ready to play. The general manager got them an offensive lineman, and they're not ready to play. And here we are going three games. Was it five games before they start to play football? And then I'm just wondering, you know, we got rid of Fields. I think it was the coaching or Fields. And instead we got rid of the quarterback and bring in a new quarterback. And it's a repeat of last year. They don't know what to do with the quarterback again. And here we got the guy losing confidence. And I just wonder, is it the general manager or what? Or is it upstairs? Is it the line? You know, it's just repeating itself.
Steve, thanks for the call, appreciate
it. Let me tell you something. Our offense had 84 plays. We had the ball 10 more minutes than our opponent. And our opponent had 9 penalties for roughly about 80 yards, okay? And we lost the football game. Now, is it the players or was it the game planning to attack from the opening quarter to the last minute of the game? Were we ready to play the Colts? And from what I saw today, we were not. How can you have all these plays all this time and you lose a football game? Is it the player's fault or is it the system that the coaches put in? Is it their fault?
312-981-7200. We'll take a timeout here for the news.
I think that you saw him operate in 2 minutes. You know, the 2 minute drives that he operated in, I thought were really good. You know, and I think that, you know, he looked good in those moments to score that touchdown. You know, he got his first 2 touchdowns of his career today, you know, in terms of passing. And so there's a lot to build on.
Head coach Matt Eberflus, a lot to build on in a 21-16 loss to the Colts. Hampton OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
3 touchdowns in 3 games.
Yeah, it's a lot to build on.
Yep.
It's a lot to build on.
Hey, and real quick, mm-hmm. before we get back to the phones, mm-hmm. you know, the Saints lost today, and the Eagles, they played really good. But the first 16 possessions of the season, the Saints scored on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we've had 33 possessions now, and we've scored a total of 3 touchdowns.
It's pretty crazy. Pretty pathetic, yeah. 312-981-7200, the number. Let's get back out to the phones. Let's go out to Austin, Texas, and say hi to Bob. Bob, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for taking my call. Bears fan since 1971, so I've seen a lot. And to me, my comment is the fact that we haven't seen any change in offensive philosophy, play calling, game planning, what have you, from Getsy last year to the current Waldron this year, demonstrates that it's the issue is the head coach, because the head coach is supposed to be over the offense, the defense, the special team. So each week he should be evaluating and working with the coordinators to develop game plans, strategies, and then, you know, telling the guys these plays will work, these plays won't work. But what do we see? We see the same plays being run. For example, the bubble screen. What was the first play, their second play of the year that was run the first game? A bubble screen. You know,
to a tight end.
Yeah, and Eberflus should have sat down with Waldron when he hired him and reviewed game films from last year and said, okay, don't you ever run these plays, ever. Bubble screens. On 3rd and 11, a 5-yard hook to a wide receiver. a gimmick play on fourth and one, like bringing the tight end Cole Kmet up to take a snap from center, or that ridiculous option play on fourth and one from the goal line today. Nagy jet sweeps, on and on and on, but we're continuing to see it. It's Eberflus's job to straighten this out, to manage this, and he's just not doing it. And he's had 3 years to do it, and he just doesn't have, obviously, the capability.
Bob, great call, and I'm just going to say what I said before. This all should have been worked out prior to our first game. All that you're talking about, and it's not a difficult thing to do, we should have been ready from the get-go to, no matter what was thrown at us offensively or defensively, whatever it was, we should have been ready to handle it. We should have been aggressive going down the field. We should attack the end zone, all these things, and we don't do it. We were not ready. We were not prepared. And look at the way we play football. We struggle mightily to get a first down. We struggle mightily to convert on third down, and we struggle mightily to score points. Again, I'll say it again till the cows come home. That all should have been worked out in the offseason and in the exhibition season. So you get your gut team ready to go. What, you worried about getting somebody hurt on this team? Give me a break.
Yeah, again, we're not privy to what's going on up there at House Hall as far as the game planning situations are concerned. But again, it kind of goes back to what I was saying to you guys before.
Well, you can see it, Andy. Well,
that's what I mean.
You can see it in the game.
That's what I mean.
When the league starts, we're not prepared.
With Eberflus so worried about the defense, does he have any hand or any oversight as far as the offense goes?
Well, obviously, there's only so many minutes in a day.
Yeah.
And you can't say that he would not be able to focus and concentrate on the inadequacies of the offense if he only had, you know, the total scope instead of being kind of distracted about just the defense. But his defense, hey, we gave up three rushing touchdowns today. He needs a little homework too.
312-981-7200. Back out to Palatine we go. And we had Lisa. Lisa, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. I have a quick question regarding Caleb Williams. We heard earlier today that Joe Flacco is on the sidelines. It sounds like he's really going and giving a lot of help to Anthony Richardson one-on-one. We also know we've got Russell Wilson there in Pittsburgh doing the same for Justin Fields. Do you think that that would help Caleb Williams to have somebody who is a Super Bowl-level quarterback able to go ahead and help him one-on-one, or do you think the problems are bigger than that?
Lisa, that's why we have offensive coordinator. That's why we have a quarterback coach, receiving coach, assistant receiving coaches, running back coaches, assistant running back coaches, offensive line coaches, assistant offensive line coaches. We have all those people. They've been here.
Think about this. Nick Foles was here, and he was, you know, partially, you know, as a backup, but he was kind of like, you need to mentor Mitchell Trubisky. How did that work out? What about Andy Dalton? How did that work out with Justin Fields? Not so good. I'm just saying, it would have to be a special situation. But the overarching, you know, offensive philosophy has to come from the offensive coordinator. And he's the one that gets everybody on the same page and makes everybody buy in. I see a team that has no idea what they're capable of or what is expected. And that's a real bad combination.
That's obviously, Dan, we can't score points.
Yep. You know, all three games, and by the grace of God, we won the first one. You know, never happened before in the history of the NFL where you didn't get at least 150 yards on offense and score on offense, and yet you still win. But, okay, we won. But last week, we go to Houston. We start the game. We have no answers. We fall in the hole. We can't climb out of it late in the game. You know, heroics. Maybe we got, we don't have a good enough offensive philosophy right now to threaten people early in games. Late in the games, they back off. We get a little success and Eberflus is happy. Oh, he got two touchdowns. We needed four of them.
Lisa, the point being, we have the coaches. How good they are, obviously, from the results, not too good. But when you've got offensive line coaches, assistant offensive line coaches, assistant receiver coaches, quality coach, this coach, that coach, my God, they should be ready to roll if they understood how to get ready to roll. And it's all got to be done in the offseason and in the exhibition season. Again, and I said a million times, baseball, you got 162 games, hockey, 80, 90, whatever it is, games, all kind of sports. This, you got 17 games, and you got to be smart enough to understand the rules of this game and get your team ready during the offseason and exhibition season. And we failed, miserably, Lisa, miserably.
And to make matters worse, the Minnesota Vikings took apart the Texans today with Sam Darnold at quarterback.
And Green Bay killed Tennessee mm-hmm. with a nobody quarterback named Malik Willis. And Detroit went out to the desert and won against Arizona, an upstart Cardinal team. And so how big a hole are we in? You tell me.
Pretty big. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're going to take a timeout here, come back with more of your phone calls.
If it comes down to being 50 attempts and us slinging the ball around, if it comes down to being, you know, 10 attempts, it's whatever team needs to get the win. You know, you go in the locker room, you celebrate and have fun because it's hard to win in the NFL, as we always say and as I've said. So we'll keep slinging it. We'll keep working on run game. You know, we'll keep getting better definitely as an offense. We're going to get this thing going here soon.
Caleb Williams on the offense. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears lose 21-16, and that kind of leads us into what play or plays do the Bears need to scrap? It's sponsored by Elgin Recycling, where you'll get top dollar for all your scrap metal. I wrote down offensive game plan. How about that? Does that work?
How about the whole? You could say the whole thing, chunk it in the garbage can. But what about the option play on 4th and 1?
God,
we don't ever need to see that again. What about the reverse to DJ Moore?
Yeah, that lost six yards.
Every play, there's two defenders watching him. Everybody's watching. You don't run a reverse to DJ Moore.
312-981-7200, the number. Let's go to Tom, who was at the game today. Tom, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, Dan and Ed, you guys are the best. You guys are champions. It must be very painful for you guys to watch this team.
It is. And, you know, when you look in Detroit, you look at Green Bay, and now Minnesota leading the division. Yeah, it makes you say, what the heck do we need to do?
Yeah, you know what? I was at the game today. There must have been 30,000 Bears fans there. Such great support. I'm driving back. I'm not even back coming into Illinois right now. It's just sad. It's almost a must-win next week against the Rams. We can't fall to 1-3, or we're done.
Well, it don't get, you know, early on, the gentleman to my left said we could be 9-0 at the bye week. Now we're looking at the Rams. Today, Carolina, who is after the Rams, we got to go to Carolina. We got Carolina here with Andy Dalton. What did they hang up? 35 points? And they ran the Raiders off the field. And then after that, you know, we got Jacksonville in London. We're going to see a different Jacksonville team tomorrow night. Mark my words. They're 0-2 and they're desperate. So it don't get any easier. And I'm proud that you went down there. I'm sorry that you had to see what we had to see here on television.
Yeah. Every time we saw it on TV, there were Bears jerseys in the crowd everywhere.
Be safe, Tom, driving.
Yeah, definitely be safe. We appreciate the phone call, 312-981-7200. Let's continue. Let's go out to Sarasota, Florida, and welcome in Steve. Steve, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Guys, you're one of the reasons why I look forward to watching football on Sundays.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You know, Dan, you mentioned a week ago we should have left the OC in Houston. I think we should leave Eberfail in Indy. For the third straight year, guys, we're seeing a trend, okay? You're seeing a team that's not prepared. They start out slow in the first half, and then they lose the game. And then in the course of the year, they start slow in the year, and then you have a losing record and a top five pick in next year's draft. 3 years in a row. This regime is 11-27. When are the higher-ups going to, you know, wake up? Offensive coordinator earlier this week mentioned they're having community issues. They're, you know, all these false starts, motion penalties.
How does that happen when you're running a stagnant offense? It's not like we have guys that are running in motion and everything like that. If, heck, if you're running a complicated offense, I can get it. But you can't get more minimal than that, and they still don't even get that part of it right. I'll tell you, Poles, I know you inherited a very thin team, but if you know it's been 3 years. If you can't see it to get a new head coach at the end of this year, then, Warren, you need to change the GM. Because we're just not losing, guys. We're looking bad losing, and I'm fed up.
Well, but Steve,
take care, guys.
Thank you, Steve.
I understand you. You know what? One word for this team today. What do we look, Dan? Do we look like a smart team, or do we look like a dumb football team out there?
I mean, honestly, we look like fools. We don't know what we're doing.
You're damn right.
All right, back out of the phones we go after the Bears lose 21-16 to the Indianapolis Colts to Oakwood. We welcome in Dave. Dave, you're on the Happen OB. Go ahead.
Hey, Andy, Hap and OB, this is Dave. I was on there last week, and instead of asking questions, I want to answer Hap's comment last week. It does look like it's Spangooley, but I want to invite you guys down to Oakwood. I'll cook you guys brisket. We're down here by Champaign, Illinois, home of Dick Butkus from the University of Illinois, and that's all I got to say, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, Dave.
OB, you were down in Champaign for a long time.
Yeah, went to school at University of Illinois and played with some really good players. As a matter of fact, you know him too, Joe Rutkins. He was a teammate down there, and he was the number one draft choice of the Washington Redskins, and Joe played 10 years. And he's from the LaSalle, Peru area. And as a matter of fact, I talked to him last week, and we had some pretty damn good football players. And I think, Dan, of our starting 11, I want to say I think 8 or 9 made it in the pros from that team, and Joe Rutkins was one of them.
Are we going to jump in the Chevy Silverado and go down there, have a little barbecue?
I'll be so happy to take you, OB.
312-981-7200. Coming up on a break here, but let's get Charles in. Charles from Chicago, you're up with Hap and OB. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, guys. Sorry for another tough day at the office. But I will say this. The most laughable thing about Matt Eberflus, and it seems to be going back to, like, Matt Nagy, even Trestman. I mean, sadly, they haven't had these coaches love Smith, but the laughable thing I want to make about Eberflus is when he first got the job as head coach of the Bears, he said he's like a big believer in analytics, right? I mean, you would think, I mean, at some point, you know, it's backfiring, and then it's like, when are you going to start waking up and, like, start coaching with the eye test and make the proper adjustments? Because sadly as it sounds right now, you don't want to have the narrative from the public perception that Bears quarterbacks coming to the Bears, this is where they go to die. And that's not a good thing. And then also, too, the only fortunate thing I will say about this loss for the Bears, it's a non-conference opponent. But on the flip side, where they got to be very careful, they don't want to dig themselves a hole where they can't get out of. It's still common opponents from the Packers, Lions, and Vikings. They have to face the AFC South. You don't want to start compiling losing record in case you got to get the tiebreakers in hopes of the playoffs. Guys, enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you, Charles. 312-981-7200 is the number. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to get the news in here, and then we will come back with more of your phone calls, we promise. Hap and OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears lose 21-16 to the Colts.
This is our third game, and there was some positivity to take out of this, you know, and we're encouraged. We're encouraged in that locker room. We are encouraged, and we are, we'll have our head moving forward, eyes moving forward. We're going to get better this week. And to me, there is better production on the offensive side. You know, there is better production there in terms of who we've got the ball to. The efficiency just needs to be better in certain areas, you know, on offense, on defense, and in kicking game. And it starts with the football.
Head coach Matt Eberflus after the Bears lose. Hap and OB sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. While I have a minute here, let's ask the question, how was the Bears coverage today? Sponsored by Thatcher Oak Commercial Awnings, covering Chicagoland businesses for over 40 years. Couple of picks, one sack. What did you think?
You know, Jalen Johnson got beat clean on a double move, and, you know, yeah, that's always worrisome. But overall, yeah, you know, it wasn't our defense's finest hour. They didn't play near as well as they have the last 2 weeks. And I saw, guys, I'm telling you, you know, the keep it simple. I mean, excuse me, the what's his deal? Toughness.
The hits principle?
Hits.
Yeah.
When was the last time we heard that nonsense? Well, I didn't see hustle.
No.
I didn't. And the interceptions, OB could have caught both of them.
312-981-7200, the number. Dan in Downers Grove has been hanging on. Dan, thanks for hanging, and you're on with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Come on in.
Hey, Danny Blasky, Downers Grove. Listen, I want to just ask a quick question, and I watched a lot of football this weekend. These kids are kicking 63-yarders. 68-yarders. How come our guy can't kick a 53-yarder? I know it shouldn't come down to the kicker. However, it just boggles the mind. You know, like he's not making it. I'm going to hang up and I'll let you talk about the kicker because.
You know, I was what. Hey, and we appreciate your
thanks,
call.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Danny.
Yeah, Danny. It I know you say it shouldn't come down. Yes, it does. It comes down to the kicker. And they've got a job just like everybody else. If the safety falls down and the receiver runs for a touchdown, he can't do it. A 53-yarder today is like a 40-yarder 10, 20 years ago. For whatever reason, the kids in college are kicking 60-plus and all over the NFL. But let's look at the drive chart. We take the ball, 11 plays. We gain 32 yards. We get down. We need something to show for it. Line of scrimmage is at the 38. I mean, that's not real far back. I see kickers make it all the time. We miss it. And, you know, Cairo Santos has been pretty darn good, and I like him.
Very
and I
accurate.
Want him to do
Very
well.
Very accurate.
Yes. Why did he miss it? You know, what's the rhyme and rhythm? You know, it's a missed two-foot putt. All I can tell you is we went on the possessions after that, and it affects it. Because now, as an offense, you're thinking, okay, well, we got to get closer than that, and who knows if he'll even hit if we get down to the 20. So everything changes. The next two series, we, you know, stumble around and punt it away. Then we have an interception. Then we turn it over on downs down at the goal line. Maybe, I don't know. Why didn't we kick the, you know, we went for it on 4th-and-1. Did that have something to do with Eberflus not wanting to get the 3 points? I don't know. You know, it was 7-0. We needed something to show for it. And yet we went for it on 4th-and-1 with that ridiculous, you know, option toss play. Then at the end of the half we saw the Hail Mary. So, you know, one thing begets another. And it's a shame. He's been really good, but he should have made that.
You know, I'm wondering just out loud if the reason these guys are hitting so many more field goals these days, you got some more indoor stadiums, you got the domes, you've also got that field turf, which seems like it's a pretty easy thing to kick on.
Yes, it is. And it has been, you know, a part of the dynamic. It's everything's getting better. The kids are, you know, stronger and training and all the different things. And, you know, the range is just getting kind of crazy. And so, you know, that field goal was completely doable. He's hit more 50-yarders than I think anybody in the Bears history. He's only been here, what, 4 or 5 years? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it wasn't like it was a bridge too far. It was, unfortunately, an upright too close.
Bears lose at 21-16 to the Indianapolis Colts. Coming up next week is the Rams at home. That's a noon kickoff as well. We'll get you ready for that coming up here in a moment.
Williams now looking deep for Adunze. He's got it to the 35. That's the big play Bears fans have been looking for. A gain of 45.
Highlights courtesy of CBS Sports. Bears lose 21-16. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado. Official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. What do you say we hear from the head coach after this one? Matt Eberflus met the media right after the Bears lost today in Indianapolis. All right, Matt Eberflus there. If you had the bingo card out, you got a good look at tape. You got to be better, and that's on us. So you might have bingo across the boards there somewhere.
Have you heard that before?
Yeah, many times.
All right, so, you know, there is a little bit of truth to that, and maybe a silver lining, Andy. Think about this. The fourth quarter, we had the ball three times. We went 13 plays and scored a touchdown, okay? And then the next series, we turn it over with the quarterback, you know, fumble. But then the last possession, we go 12 plays, 70 yards, score a touchdown. So he's talking about hunting touchdowns. He's talking about being more efficient. Take that fumble away.
Yeah.
That fumble, it was on our own 16. They score in four plays. That was the difference in the game. We take that fumble away. We block a little better. We don't get our quarterback tomahawked. Maybe we do win this game. There is a silver lining, but by God, it's going to have to be like, you know, tungsten steel getting ready for the Rams because those guys looked ready to play tonight.
Gentlemen, we lost the game. We lost the game.
21-16. That was the final in today's game.
And, you know, the way I started off was crazy. We had 26 first downs, and we lost. We were 4 of 5 on fourth down, and we lost. Our quarterback threw for over 330 yards, and we lost. We lost the game despite all of this stuff that tells you maybe we're making a little progress.
Dan, we lost the game. Okay.
That's the truth.
Let's talk about winning when we win the game.